Views expressed on this program are those of the hosts, guests, and callers, and are not necessarily those of this station, its management, or other advertisers. You're listening to Transformation Talk Radio.
Award-winning author, renowned speaker, PhD therapist, and mood adjuster extraordinaire, welcome to the Sandy Brewer Show.
Hi, and welcome to the Sandy Brewer Show. I'm Dr. Sandy Brewer, and I'm so delighted to be here with you today and every Thursday, live from 1 to 2 p.m. Pacific, 4 to 5 p.m. Eastern Time on the truly innovative Transformation Talk Radio Network, and of course, the fabulous stereo, WBLQ, 1230, Westerly, Rhode Island. When you have a chance, visit me at my website, sandybrewer.com, and while you're there, sign up for my inspirational thought for the week. It's easy, it's free, it's uplifting, it's a good thing. In the 35 years that I've been a speaker and a counselor in private practice, I've had the great privilege of using my skills and intuitive insights to help people get to the heart of whatever is happening in their lives. Here at the Sandy Brewer Show, it's all about you. So I'd love to put those insights and skills to work for you today. Our mics are always open as we get to the heart of what matters in your life. No question or subject is off limits. Give me a call, 800-930-2819. Or you can go to transformationtalkradio.com and ask a question in the instant feedback box. I always find that a bit of a tongue twister. And because life is absolutely about giving and receiving, we have a gift for you today. The first two callers with an on-air question or email question will receive an autographed copy of my book, Pursuit of Light. It's a compelling and inspirational memoir that's filled with empowering personal tools that can help you change your life today. Pursuit of Light has won 3 literary awards. We're really happy about that. And it's our thank you to you for giving us a call. 800-930-2819. With me on air today is my partner in all things fabulous, wonderful, and totally rewarding, is my husband, John Brewer. Hi, John.
That be me. Hi, Sandy.
That be you, babe.
And I'm so pleased that our good friend and Emmy Award-winning lyricist, Mary Beth Therry, is with us today. What a treat.
Hi, John. Hi, Sandy.
Hi, MB. Hi, how are you?
I'm great, and I'm looking forward to at least our beginning topic, parenting adult children, because I'm deep in the journey.
Deep in the throes, huh, honey?
Yeah.
Get expert outlook then. That's great.
Right.
So then let's just go ahead and jump in, Mary Beth, because I know how it is. You know, as my kids are a little bit older than yours, but as 1 minute it feels like the kids are 12, and the next minute we blink an eye, they're 24, and it just goes on from there. And a lot of times it's a real tricky situation making the transition into their adulthood with them.
Right. And you know, Sandy, I've been making this transition for many years, as you know. And, I remember when he was 16 and left the house with, you know, and he had car keys in his hand. And I was just struck by how wrong it all seemed. I mean, it just seemed like this can't be happening. So I really had a problem letting go in that phase. And then there was college where, you know, he went to college in the same town in Los Angeles I live in. But I literally, you know, thought I'd never see him again and cried for the first 2 weeks. Of course, I saw him all the time. But now it's even different. He's 30 and a young man on his own doing well. He's self-supporting, which is a relief to any parent.
Exactly.
But yet I find that, you know, I still have so much in my own mind to give and teach, which is not always received. But I feel Sandy like someone that's taken a, you know, sort of a road somewhere and run into, you know, a narrow highway or falling rock. Or if somebody asked me, am I going to go this route on my trip, I would tell them what I learned about going that route. You know, but I guess, I mean, that's where I'm kind of with adult parenting, wanting to help and contribute my vast knowledge at 60, well, which is not always welcome.
Well, yeah, really. So I really understand because that is the journey, that transition of the roles we have to take. I remember my oldest son married fairly young. He was not yet 25. And when he told me that he was getting married, I really loved his she was his fiance in that moment, but the woman who became his wife, I thought she was fabulous. So it wasn't about that. But when he told me that he was getting married, I tried not to let this happen, but a tear fell from my eyes. And I knew what it was. It was like, but I'm not done, you know?
Right.
I'm not done telling you everything I have to tell you. How can this be going on?
I know. And that's kind of where I'm stuck is, you know, I feel that, you know, and in some ways, I feel I would do that for any person I loved. If I experienced something or have, you know, which could make me overbearing to a lot of people. We have to consider that.
I think that's maybe unfair to you, honey. So.
Thanks, Sandy.
You're welcome.
You know, I just want to help.
Right. You just want to help. Right. I think that place of what's hard for us to remember is that what everything, as much as what we went through as kids, as younger people, as much as we think it would be a good thing to try to avoid as many of those pitfalls as possible, when we really step back and look at it objectively, almost every single pitfall was required for us to find our independence, for us to begin that process of transitioning from dependent child to self-aware and independent adult. So I think as that place of parent where it's our job for all of those years to try to run interference, and then all of a sudden this kid has the nerve to grow up on us and we have to change how we're seeing that person, that we're the best way that helped me, and I was far from perfect, but the best way that helped me was trying to see through the eyes of me at 21, of me at 18, and me at 24. And that helped me understand that even though we want our children to have a smoother route than we had, what we have already given them has to be the foundation for how they choose to unfold their route, their path. That
and
I
you're
can't
so right, Sandy.
To...
It's really their journey to experience.
Exactly. And the mom in us wants to, is tempted to keep trying to stuff that down their throats. You know, as a counselor, of course, I talk to a gazillion people on these kinds of things, but it's not unusual for me to see a mom with or dad with maybe a 25-year-old kid and a 23-year-old kid, and they're still running interference between sibling disagreements instead of stepping back and going, these are two adults, let them figure it out, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So redefining our roles is really, really important, and trusting that what we could give them as far as a foundation and which to stand, now it's in their hands to pick and choose which parts of whatever it is we tried to give them work for them. And that when they need to do it a different way than what we might advise, suggest, or think even is prudent, when they need to do it a different way, we need to respect who they are now.
Right,
so I think
exactly.
That's really important, yeah.
And that's the transition and the journey, Sandy. I know for me, one thing that I had with my adult son is he loves to travel, and he'll pick far places like Beijing and Thailand and places. But then he'll say, I'm only going for 5 days or something like that. I mean, I don't know if it's ever been that short, but it's like crazy short amount of time. So then I will feel it's my duty to point out, why are you going that far for 4 days or five? And we always end up in these fights over, you know, not, we never really fight or get angry,
right,
but, you know,
but
in this thing where I get frozen out, then I hear nothing more about the trip. I get a timeout.
That's so sad when kids do that to us, but they do.
I know.
But it is that place of understanding, hey, you put it out there once, and then you back off. If you really think they're in genuine, genuine jeopardy, that's a different thing. But we need to be pretty cautious in our own discernment of when we think there's genuine jeopardy and when we think they're just going to, that their choices don't make any sense to us. But that's okay, because we're not the ones making the choices.
Right, exactly.
So I think one of the big things in parenting adult children also, Mary Beth, is to try to be low-maintenance parents. And what we're talking about feeds right into that. And to me, a low-maintenance parent is where I still understand I'm still the mom. No matter how old they get, I'm the mom. But that I need to not lean into them too much. I need to be, let myself stay clear and not need them to fill or fulfill me. And I think a lot of parents get that one really mixed up.
I know. I mean, and parents don't want to let go of that sense of family, and they over lean on them, and they become kind of emotionally dependent on them.
And then they guilt them into a little corner, you know? So
yeah.
I think it's something we can all.
I'm only that way on Thanksgiving.
Yeah, well, my
only
children.
Only for the holidays.
I get it. My kids do not have excused absences for Christmas. You know, it's like that's my thing. So we try to pick our one or two little places where we leverage that and then back off the rest of the time.
So. Right.
You're listening to the Sandy Brewer Show. We're so glad you're with us. Give us a call. Remember, no subject is off limits. 800-930-2819. Stay with us. You're going to like what we talk about next. We'll be right back.
Tune in to the Sandy Brewer Show, getting to the heart of what matters in your life. Thursdays at 1 p.m. Pacific, 4 p.m. Eastern on TransformationTalkRadio.com, and experience the powerful healing voice of Dr. Sandy Brewer, one of call-in talk radio's most dynamic, compelling personalities. Get ready for inspiration and contagious humor and her been there, done that, no-nonsense advice to meet today's challenges.
Listen and call in at 800-930-2819 for the Sandy Brewer Show.
Some talk networks broadcast whatever they want to, whether the vibration is high or low. Others tune in to the highest vibration possible to help people live life full out. These networks don't come along very often. But when they do, they remind us that we can achieve everything that is possible. To help ourselves, to help others, and to help the planet.
I'm Sue London.
I'm Karen Hager.
I'm CJ Liu.
Welcome to the Dr. Pat Show, talk radio to thrive by. These networks aren't concerned about sensationalizing bad news.
They hear something on the radio, and all of a sudden, their whole day is ruined.
They aren't concerned about sensationalizing individuals' setbacks.
Powerful, inspiring.
They focus on an amazing, innovative broadcast network.
You can learn a lot.
That helps people rise up. That helps people become empowered.
Empowered Living Radio is where you can find it.
That helps people say yes to standing in the abundance and amazement that is their lives.
The urge to grow.
These networks remind us that everything is possible.
Let us inspire you.
That nothing is limited.
Epic social change.
That our lives are much more than anything our minds would hope us to believe.
Overcome those challenges in your life.
These networks help us rise and shine to the occasion of our lives.
True empowerment.
Transformation Talk Radio is one of these networks.
transformative radio show that will change your life.
Won't you join us? Join us on TransformationTalkRadio.com.
As anyone who has experienced cancer knows, it's a tough journey. If your loved ones are dealing with cancer, please give yourself the gift of learning about the leading-edge information and support programs offered by Vital Options, a nonprofit cancer communications organization that provides extensive information to support patients and families to better understand treatment options as well as other issues that impact anyone touched by cancer. We urge you to take advantage of this valuable resource by going to vitaloptions.org.
Hi, welcome back to the Sandy Brewer Show. We are so glad you're with us. Give us a call, 800-930-2819. On the air with me today, of course, is my husband, John, my dear, dear friend, Mary Beth Derry, great, great lyricist. And John, during the break, you brought up something about, we're talking today about a little bit about parenting adult children, and you had a point that Mary Beth and I thought was a good one.
Well, it also got triggered a little bit with Pink's Never, Never Think You're Less Than Perfect, because I think and on some level we have a subconscious fear of becoming our parents. And one day we wake up and realize, my God, I'm treating my kids like I was treated as a kid. And it's a conundrum. What do you do? How do you fix that? Where do you go from there?
Well, it's sort of like Bob Newhart's thing. Remember his five kid therapy? Bob Newhart has this great, if y'all haven't seen it, YouTube it. He has this great five-minute therapy thing. It's 5 minutes for $5, and he doesn't make change. And no matter what you say, he just bleats out, stop that. You know?
Get over it, right.
Stop that. MD, what were you
there you go.
On the whole subject of being afraid or finding things that we're replicating, often we'll find phrases that we're replicating that our parents did or fear places where our parents were. Mary Beth, how do you feel about that?
Well, it brings to mind a funny thing that my brother and I always laugh about, because my mother was quite a character and you know, not the most evolved in the sense that she did not examine herself at all. But she said at one time at a table to my brother and I just want to teach my children and have them realize that life is one tragedy after the next. And my brother and I were spitting out our mashed potatoes. We couldn't believe she said that. And we've often laughed over the years, but I find myself sometimes with my children and stepchildren doing a lot of warning them. You know, I make sure that I warn them that this could happen and this might happen, and if they're not careful. And I find myself doing that and thinking, you know, I'm Pauline. That was my mother's name, you know, in my own way.
Right. And so we look at that and then we have to remember to bump ourselves up just a little notch and know that that's only the habit of a neurological pattern. But to trust, to just, and it, when it comes to our children, it's really hard to trust the unknown. I think it's easier for us to trust it in ourselves than for our children, because that place of wanting to protect our children is so strong. And yet if we're not careful, if we don't moderate it, then we're not going to protect our children, we're going to disable our children. And so that's the fine line and the reason that we have to make sure we're transitioning into our role as a parent of an adult child who doesn't need the child to fill them and who doesn't need the child to stay under his or her protective wing, but trust the child to go out and find their own truth, just as we had to do. It's a tricky proposition.
So Sandy, is your advice, Sandy, to only give advice when asked? I mean, is that kind of the way you do it as the adult parent?
That should be on everybody's refrigerator door.
No matter who it's with, right?
Exactly. But especially with kids, only give advice when asked.
When asked. And somebody, Sandy, is asking for some advice on an issue.
Oh, well, that's a good thing.
We got an email from Gary in California. And here's what he says. I know this probably sounds like a problem you've heard a lot. I had a lot of problems with my dad when I was younger. My parents were separated for a time when I was a kid, and I mostly lived with my dad. After my parents finally got divorced, I went with my mom. I loved my dad, but once I left, he became completely absent from my life. I literally haven't seen him for many years. It wasn't a physically abusive relationship, but it was emotionally abusive and dysfunctional, just messed up. There are two things I hope you could help me with. One, I really fear that I am or will become my dad. Even though I intellectually know this isn't true, I sometimes feel that I am, especially when I'm feeling emotionally stuck. The second question is, how can I resolve my relationship problems with my dad without actually directly talking with him? We don't, and he says in parentheses, we don't have a relationship now, and I don't want one either. That ship has sailed already. Any suggestions? Thanks, Sandy.
Well, wow, that's a handful on Gary's plate, a big, big handful. And first of all, Gary, thank you so much for writing in. We really appreciate that. And I have a lot of compassion for your situation and what's going on in your life. The two questions that you asked are what we were just talking about, that place where the fear that maybe we are becoming our parents, and then, of course, how to resolve where you are in your life with your father. So I'm going to answer them in that sequence. The idea that because you are your father behaves a certain way, that somehow that has to influence or reflect you, is a fear that children have, because when children feel abused or at any level for any reason, or ignored or unsupported, they always decide there's something wrong with them. And so if a father or a mother steps out of the picture and stays out of the picture, it goes back to the child. If the father, as identity, the child starts saying, I wonder what's wrong with me, and identifies themselves as whatever they perceive is wrong with them, because otherwise they wouldn't be treated this way. That place of changing that identity is essential. The idea that because your mother has a problem or your father has a problem, that has to reflect on you, or that your mother's I was going to say a jerk. I apologize for that. I was thinking of my mother, because your mother is really undeveloped, unkind, cruel. Your father, undeveloped, unkind, sick, cruel, whatever it is, that has a reflection on you. This is actually about choice. It's about the power of choice. It's about that place where you take yourself so deep to make a new decision about who you are. In my memoir, Pursuit of Light, I emphasize and reemphasize and reemphasize the power of choice, because everything begins with that. So choosing that you are not like your father, choosing that is not you, will not initially make you feel better, but it's where we start. And then from that place of making the choice that we will not negotiate, we hold it absolute, that this is not my truth, then we have to come and start giving to ourselves the kindness and the love and the support that we didn't receive that you didn't receive from your father, that his abusiveness, his negligence, whatever else was going on there, was all about him, that genetically you have a genetic, from my point of view, greater than your physical parent. There is a spiritual place, that the pulse of all life, that core pulse of all life that joins you and me and all of us together. That's my greatest DNA. It makes a difference. It made a difference in my life. If I couldn't choose that, because my parents were like, if we drew a picture of the epitome of evil, that would have been good old Ginny and Tom, my parents. But that isn't about me. That's about them. Reaching for that greater truth after I make the choice that I'm going to reach for the greater truth, that I'm not going to collapse into the fear that I am my parent. Reaching for that greater truth makes a huge, huge difference. So I support you totally in that and hope that you're able to take a look at that. And you're going to get, I was going to say, get my book, but I'm sending you my book. So you got that one covered, and read it and see if that doesn't give you a formula for helping you with this. The second part of your problem, my dear, is how do I resolve my relationship with my dad without, and you don't actually want to create a physical relationship. Everything anyway is internal to external. So the way that you do that is you go inside, get really, really quiet. Go to the part of you, whether it's today or from yesterday or years ago, that hold on to that loss and grief that you ended up being without a father, and how that impacted you. And remember, every hurt child, and so this is that inner work, that place where you're still holding on to an old identity. Every hurt child needs three things, and these three things you have to organically give to the part of you that through pain and through really hard experiences got fractured off from the rest of you. So to integrate that, these are the things you have to give to yourself at a feeling level. That's what organic means. First, you have to tell the child that you care, you're sorry that he went through that, and that it's not his fault. Two, you have to tell that child that you really care about him, that he's the one who kept the promise of you alive, and you're forever grateful, and your heart is open, and you keep opening your heart until you can feel that love. And third, you have to tell him that it's over, and it's only over when you're willing to move into forgiveness, which means letting it go and expanding to include the traveler, the journey. You are the traveler. Look for, don't ignore the feeling, release the feeling, and then look for the wisdom that it left you with. Thank you so much. Wow, we're already at a break. You're listening to The Sandy Brewer Show. Give us a call. No subject is off limits. We're interested in what's on your mind. 800-930-2819.
If you are looking for a book that will inspire you, one that will help you smooth out those bumps in the road of your life, one that will give you practical tools for meeting everyday life challenges, then you'll want to get your own copy of Sandy Brewer's award-winning memoir, Pursuit of Light. It is so compelling, you won't want to put it down. Order today and get a free gift of her audio series, 6 Steps to Mastering the Art of Healing, by placing your order today at sandybrewer.com.
Some talk networks broadcast whatever they want to, whether the vibration is high or low. Others tune in to the highest vibration possible to help people live life full out. These networks don't come along very often. But when they do, they remind us that we can achieve everything that is possible to help ourselves, to help others, and to help the planet.
I'm Sue London.
I'm Karen Hager.
I'm CJ Liu.
Welcome to the Dr. Pat Show, talk radio to thrive by.
These networks aren't concerned about sensationalizing bad news.
They hear something on the radio, and then all of a sudden, their whole day is ruined.
They aren't concerned about sensationalizing individuals' setbacks.
Powerful, inspiring.
They focus on an amazing, innovative broadcast network.
You can learn a lot.
That helps people rise up. That helps people become empowered.
Empowered Living Radio is where you can find it.
That helps people say yes to standing in the abundance and amazement that is their lives.
The urge to grow.
These networks remind us that everything is possible.
Let us inspire you.
That nothing is limited.
Epic social change.
That our lives are much more than anything our minds would hope us to believe.
overcome those challenges in your life.
These networks help us rise and shine to the occasion of our lives.
True empowerment.
Transformation Talk Radio is one of these networks.
Transformative radio show that will change your life.
Won't you join us? Join us on TransformationTalkRadio.com.
Would you welcome an inspiring, positive, and uplifting message coming to you each week? Messages that will energize and support you as you go about your day? I do, and I hope you will too. Act today and bring a smile to your face and a lift in your step as you receive your free inspirational thought for the week. Simply ask for them by going to sandybrewer.com. Hey, and while you're there, learn more about Sandy's award-winning memoir, Pursuit of Light. Be inspired and pass it on as you get your free thought for the week at sandybrewer.com.
What doesn't kill you makes you stronger. Stand a little taller. Doesn't mean I'm lonely when I'm alone. What doesn't kill you makes you fighter. What's the secret liar? Doesn't mean I'm
Hi, and welcome back to the Sandy Brewer Show. We are so delighted to be here with you today, and thank you for being with us. I think we have a caller on the line. Is that right? Let's see
That's
if she's
right.
there.
Hi.
Hi. And what's your name, honey?
How are you?
I'm great.
I'm Kelly.
Hi, Kelly. I'm great. How are you?
I'm doing well.
Good. Tell me what's on your mind. Hi. Thanks for calling in, my dear.
So I've been kind of struggling with my relationship. I feel like I'm back in the same pattern that I've been in a million times since I was in middle school, where I just like obsessed over the relationship and can't seem to stop being codependent, and I keep trying to get myself out of it by, you know, telling myself all the things that I've learned by reading and listening to your show. But then I go into a panic because it doesn't work when I'm trying to do that. And I just feel like I keep going in circles.
Okay. When you say, honey, that it doesn't work when you're trying to do that, what do you mean by it doesn't work? You still feel anxiety, panic?
Yeah. And it almost gets worse because I'm like, okay, the anxiety's not going away. Oh, my God, the anxiety's not going away. Oh, my God, the anxiety's not going away. And then that becomes a new anxiety.
It becomes its own religion, doesn't it?
It does.
I understand. That's really hard. So I truly understand. What do you think, because you said you've been doing this since boys became a factor in your life. So what do you think that when you get that place of where you, this is what I heard, you correct me if I heard it wrong, please, that where you're just holding on and that when things start to go wrong or get a little bumpy, it makes you get desperate and grab and try to hang on to, you know, until you shred the coat jacket of the person you're trying to hold on to. What, out of fear, out of panic, what is that underlying thing that makes you panic? What's going to happen if the person walks? What do you feel?
I feel like I'll fall apart.
What does fall apart mean?
I guess it's just that, you know, afraid of being alone and don't want to be abandoned. I mean, yeah, definite abandonment issue going on.
You know what I felt when I asked you the question, because, you know, I do feel with whoever I speak with, what I felt was if you let go, it's more primal than that, actually, that it would, you would be in an abyss, you know, just completely like lost in outer space and the mothership has left you there and you're just stuck in this abyss from which there is no exit. Do you understand what I'm saying to you?
Yeah, I had a dream about that a couple of nights ago, actually. So that's probably
What a surprise that I would pick that up. So, in your dream, can you tell me the dream in like 30 seconds or less?
Yeah, I was in this weird outer space amphitheater thing. It was like a
that's
planet.
That's hysterical.
A planet with
okay, go ahead.
And I was coming down, thought I was walking down the stairs, but then when I got to the bottom of the stairs, I realized I didn't have legs. I just had this orb, like a, like a circle thing as legs. And then I finally got on the stage, and then the second I got there, because my, you know, they weren't actual legs and it was this round ball thing, I fell back, and then my head hit the back of the amphitheater, and the whole space amphitheater fell apart, and then I just started falling into the void, kind of.
The abyss or the void, right, right. Well, I was given that when you were talking, so I picked that up. If you look at that place of the void or the abyss, or where you're so in this black, dark hole that there's no way out, it's worse than death, because death, one presumes, is an exit of some sort. But this place where there's no way out is really the primal terror of a child. Do you understand what, or unless somebody has gone through a really horrific current situation, but for the most part, it's the primal terror of a child. So it would have to go back to, honey, that when you were a child, you felt that level of isolation and aloneness, and that there's no way out, that you were in a universe. One of the lines that I often use is that there's no accident, that there's more than one person per planet, but for you, there was not. There was no, there was only you and nobody else, and you were stuck in this place where nobody could hear you or relate to you. And so if you dealt with feelings, you would go into this deep, dark place. And then when you get a relationship, it, the problem that makes you desperate and kind of reincarnates this old neurological pattern is that when you get into a relationship, it actually relieves that pressure of I'm alone, because initially you feel heard and loved and connected, and then the person starts having their own, your partner, whoever he may be, starts having their own personality issues come up, and maybe can't always be there, or has kind, you know, his own flaws. And when he goes into his own flaws, you've already reached out on I'm not alone. That old place has been tripped. I'm not alone. I'm not in the abyss. And he starts to pull away, maybe based on nothing to do with your relationship, but something to do with him. It triggers this place inside of you where I could get lost in this abyss again, and the desperation makes you want to grab onto the coattails and just, if you can just, even if it's a shred of material that you have in your hands, cling to it for dear life. Does that make sense for you?
Yes.
Good.
Definitely.
So now, sadly, that is what makes sense. So now the more equally and more important part, the reason why it's important to see it is we can't change what we can't see. But now to fix it, which is what we want to do, is to be able to, and maybe what you need to do, honey, is practice on this more when you're not in the panic mode, because it's hard to teach a drowning man or woman how to swim, do you know? And so if you don't have a foundation for how to help yourself through this equivalent of a night terror, when you get hit with it during your regular life, if you don't have a foundation on how to handle it, you can't then just try to learn the metaphoric equivalent of the breaststroke, okay? So when you think in terms of this place, remember your dream. Your dream was giving you information, baby, of what you're working on. Dreams are wonderful stages for working out some of the deeper issues that are going on in our mind, whether we're conscious of them or it's in our subconscious mind. So when you go into this place and you feel that panic and you feel that lost in that void or black hole, and you go to that place and you say, wow, that I experienced earlier than a couple nights ago when I had this dream. So we just need to be a little forensic and understand that you would have experienced that at 3, 4, 5, 6. And so you don't have to remember exactly when. You just need to know that that neurological pathway got set in very early. And you go to that part of you as the woman that you are today, And you're going to have to reframe it. You're going to have to redefine it. Because did the child actually experience herself in this void and the horrific terror of that void? And does your body still hold that terror? That's why it's like the equivalent of a night terror. Does your body still hold that terror? Absolutely, it does. Does that terror hold truth? No, it doesn't. When you were a little girl, you actually had that experience that this dream represents, this terror represents. But the experience, honey, is not who you are. So the part of you that got fragmented off into this primal survival place, because that's what it is, you need to be able to, as the woman, when you're not in overt terror, reach to that part of you and understand that that was part of your journey. That it's not about fair or unfair, because it's clearly not fair. But as a spiritual being, as a full-grown soul, who from the moment you engaged the body that you are in, knew what it was doing, as a full-grown soul that's so much greater than her circumstance, greater than her experience, as this human being, this wonderful woman that you are, whose source is not a physical mother or father, but something greater than this, the pulse of life that we may call God, we may call universe, we may call presence. It doesn't matter. It's the pulse of life, and the core of that pulse is love. And you give deep within you to that part of you that is stuck in that abyss. The information, take a big, bright, eternal torch, eternal flame into the child's feeling of abyss and hold it up for her and reach into her hand and wrap your arm around her and bring her into your now. All the strength that you actually do have in the now, all the wisdom that you actually do have in the now, the successes that you have been able to accomplish in the now, those are the things that she doesn't know that she did, because she's still stuck in this abyss. But you as the woman have to own, this is who I am, and have to be able to separate that emotion, understanding that that's a neurological pathway. Kelly, I have to take a break, but I'd like to finish this with you. Can you hold on for just a few minutes till we get back?
Sure.
Okay, thanks. You're listening to The Sandy Brewer Show. We will be right back.
Would you welcome an inspiring, positive, and uplifting message coming to you each week? Messages that will energize and support you as you go about your day? I do, and I hope you will too. Act today and bring a smile to your face and a lift in your step as you receive your free inspirational thought for the week. Simply ask for them by going to sandybrewer.com. Hey, and while you're there, learn more about Sandy's award-winning memoir, Pursuit of Light. Be inspired and pass it on as you get your free thought for the week at sandybrewer.com.
Some talk networks broadcast whatever they want to, whether the vibration is high or low. Others tune in to the highest vibration possible to help people live life full out. These networks don't come along very often. But when they do, they remind us that we can achieve everything that is possible to help ourselves, to help others, and to help the planet.
I'm Sue London.
I'm Karen Hager.
I'm CJ Liu.
Welcome to the Dr. Pat Show, talk radio to thrive by.
These networks aren't concerned about sensationalizing bad news.
They hear something on the radio, and then all of a sudden, their whole day is ruined.
They aren't concerned about sensationalizing individuals' setbacks.
Powerful, inspiring.
They focus on an amazing, innovative broadcast network.
You can learn a lot.
That helps people rise up, that helps people become empowered.
Empowered Living Radio is where you can find it.
That helps people say yes to standing in the abundance and amazement that is their lives.
The urge to grow.
These networks remind us that everything is possible.
Let us inspire you.
That nothing is limited.
Epic social change.
That our lives are much more than anything our minds would hope us to believe.
Overcome those challenges in your life.
These networks help us rise and shine to the occasion of our lives.
True empowerment.
Transformation Talk Radio is one of these networks.
Transformative radio show that will change your life.
Won't you join us? Join us on TransformationTalkRadio.com.
As anyone who has experienced cancer knows, it's a tough journey. If you or loved ones are dealing with cancer, please give yourself the gift of learning about the leading-edge information and support programs offered by Vital Options, a nonprofit cancer communications organization that provides extensive information to support patients and families to better understand treatment options as well as other issues that impact anyone touched by cancer. We urge you to take advantage of this valuable resource by going to vitaloptions.org.
Hi, and welcome back to the Sandy Brewer Show. We're delighted to be here with you today. On the line, we have a caller, Kelly, who's Kelly, I just applaud you so, so much for your openness and the way you allowed us to get deeper into your world and into what's going on for you, because everybody gets to benefit from that. So thank you, Kel.
You're welcome.
Yeah, good. So we were talking about how things from the panic that you have in your current life, when things go a little south in your relationship, that it actually freezes you and freaks you out, how that's actually connected to an originating time of a wound when you felt like you were invisible, like nobody could hear you, nobody understood you. You were isolated all by yourself and lost in space into that black hole or that black void. And then we're starting with, here's what you have to do with that part of you that experienced that, which we call, because the brain already has this language, we call the hurt child, that you as the woman go back to that child and are able to understand and reframe that this is a place through which you as a child, that part of you that's still kind of in a time warp as the little girl, that you actually experienced, but that it is not who you are. It is just a place, a narrow, narrow corridor through which you traveled. And that as a result of that squished corridor, that you windy squished corridor that you had to travel, you were still able to find the strength and the good and the decency to grow into a woman that is kind, that has a good heart, that is incredibly open, all these things. So Kelly, in your adult life, tell me what you think your top accomplishment is.
It's mostly all work related.
That's okay.
Yeah, I've had some big moments in my career.
So you've had some major, some big booms in your career, right?
Yeah, definitely.
Okay. And you're how old, honey?
I'm 29.
29. At 29, you've made a mark in your career, right? And you've had some big successes. You're moving right along, right? Here's what I want you to connect with. That the reason that you at 29, that's pretty young, by the way, to be able to already have made a mark in your profession, a strong mark in your profession, the reason at 29 that you could do that is because in spite of the terror of that little girl that we're talking about who felt caught in the void, in the abyss, in that black hole, in spite of her terror, this part of you that was only 3, 4, 5, 6, this part of you held on to the promise of you. She kept the promise of you, the flame of you alive. In spite of her terror, that's how strong she is. Do you understand what I'm saying to you?
Yeah.
So when you, as a 29-year-old woman, go back in a quiet, meditative kind of place to this little girl, and you give her this mirror, you give her this reflection, she just thinks she's lost in space. You need to tell her what she did, that she did her job, that when you, before you incarnated, she's the part of you who raised her little hand and said, listen, when we go through that part, I'll do that part. And then you also said, well, when I get old enough, I'll come back and get you. Do you understand that? So when you're at 29, yeah, go back to get this part of you that got fragmented off, not a full split. A full split is now we're into a mental illness, but fragmentation, and we all have some of that, you know? So this part of you that got fragmented, that you go back and you let her know. You, instead of looking at her or this part of you that gets fearful, you look and understand the fear and you tell her she's not a loser. She's not wrong because she feels that. Tell her what she accomplished and you've only just begun. And then you as a woman start to understand the same thing, that this emotional connection, which is actually more neurological than psychological for you, this, it changes the hormonal balance in your body and makes you feel the panic that the early child felt. It undoes you at 29. Imagine how hard it would have been at 4, 5, and 6. You go to her and you say, in spite of that, you held on to this greater truth. You held on to the promise of who we could become. And then when you're in the panic, feeling that hormonal imbalance in the now, you have to be willing, as this 29-year-old woman, to hold on to the substance of you. And we're using your success in your business as a reflection, not of better or worse, but of the substance of you is here. And understand that you're going through a biological, a neurological reaction in your body, and you must learn to breathe through it and hold on to that. No matter how it feels, it is my body reacting to an old neurological pathway that is about the hormonal balance, but is not about the truth. So whoever it is your partner is, it's not about whether your partner is going to stay and leave. It's about you healing this place deep inside of you that says, I have experienced isolation. I have experienced the desolation of being alone, but I am not that aloneness. That is only a place through which I traveled. And you have to, from my point of view, because I've done this in my life, so I get it, honey. You have to practice it, practice it, practice it. But I'm serious when I say to you that you have to practice it when you're not in the midst of trauma. That's when your most important practice has to come. And for most of us, we wait until we're really desperate to try to practice, right? So you have to be willing to practice it.
I definitely do that.
And yeah, so I get that. But that's not going to get you where you want to go. That's not going to help you heal this neurological pathway. Remember, the brain will remap itself. It will restructure its connections. And it does it through consistency and repetition. So on your best days, you should be doubling down on this exercise. Do you understand? Build on the strength that you are, because you're an amazing woman. The place where you felt the abyss is only a place through which you traveled. I'm so grateful to you, Kelly, for calling. I hope this helps.
It does. Thank you very much.
You're welcome, my dear. Take really good care. I'll keep you in my heart.
Thank you. Likewise.
You're welcome. Bye-bye. Hey guys, I can't believe it. MB, that I just kind of kept going with that because I was so interested in what was coming up with Kelly, and we are almost done. It's so good to have you on the show again with us today. Thank you so much,
Sandy,
for
being
here.
Good to be here.
It's good, even though, and I'm sorry I didn't give you a whole lot of chance to talk.
Oh, I'm totally engrossed with listening and learning.
It was wonderful. Thank you, John.
Really good. We love you, MB. You take really good care. Thanks.
And
thanks,
I have my thanks to you too, MB, for being with us today. And thanks to our callers and emailers for joining in the conversation with us on the Sandy Brewer Show, where we take your questions for Sandy to get to the heart of what matters in your life. Our phone lines are always open and no subject is off limits. So turn on, tune in to listen, and call in next week with your questions or email them to sandy@sandybrewershow.com. Next week, have you entered a preset family and feel like a fifth wheel? Join us for problem solving to the tricky step of parenting. The Sandy Brewer Show airs every Thursday from 1 to 2 Pacific, 4 to 5 p.m. Eastern on the web at Transformation Talk Radio and Stereo 1230 AM WBLQ in Westerly, Rhode Island. We invite you to sign up to receive your free inspirational thought for the week by going to sandybrewer.com. You'll enjoy receiving them. A special thanks to our fantastic engineer, Brian, and may you all have a fantastic week.
You're listening to Transformation Talk Radio. Our hosts are setting a new standard for a fresh kind of talk radio, creating conversations that are transforming the world, one listener at a time. Transformation Talk Radio's mission is to broadcast a distinct blend of live talk radio interviews with a mix of uplifting and intelligent news, educational and practical information. Topics range from personal development to critical issues relevant to a rapidly changing world. Stay tuned. Transformation Talk Radio starts at the top of every hour.
Stop. Get out of that car. Stop living your life in the passenger seat. Tune in to TransformationTalkRadio.com and let us help you drive.
I've heard people say that too much of anything is not good for you, baby. But I don't know about that.
Love is officially in the air. Transformation Talk Radio and the Dr. Pat Show is showing you love all year long, not just for Valentine's Day. Dr. Pat, known for her Pay It Forward manifesto, is now joined by the hosts on Transformation Talk Radio. I'm in love, baby, with Transformation Talk Radio. Tune in to TransformationTalkRadio.com. Amazing host, incredible guest. Get your groove on. Feel the love, be the love.
Can't get enough for your love, babe.
There's a great hunger in this world for new lines of thought, because everywhere you look, they say that joy can just be bought. So please come and set aside some time to relax from frenetic. Transform your life. It takes a while, but results are magnetic. We aim to grasp the best in life and track the ways we grew. The how, the why, the what, wherefore, all this we share and do. But every now and then, we hope that you will share right back. Transformation Talk Radio wants you to hop on track. So calling all hosts, tall and small, of every size and hue, there's nobody we'd rather have to tell your tale than you. And if you have a tale to tell of how your life is changing, we'd love to hear you on the line, say how you're rearranging. So run, don't walk, to call us now. We'll set you up and show you how.
Hi, this is Dr. Pat. Join our radio family. Send us an email, host@transformationtalkradio.com, or call 1-800-930-2819. Host your own show. Let us help you bring your voice to the world.